So we can start chapter 17, which is the Divine Soul. Just a little background. So this chapter, Shrivindo, describes to us what is the life of the individual souls. So that's where it all starts. Before it has suffered a fall into this earthly condition. So individual souls, a jivatma, is already there in the supermind. It also explains something very interesting. It is about man's relation with the gods. So gods are powers and aspects of the one divine. And the jivatma is a portion of the divine. So it is like, let's say, a company owned by someone. Who inherits? The child inherits. That's the normal course of things. Who runs the company? The managers. Now when the child is small, he cannot override the managers. No sensible, he'll say, no, because the company has to run well. If he starts overriding, sometimes the father can veto in exceptional circumstances, but otherwise, generally, he has to go to the manager, whatever he has, that has to go through the process. He cannot simply say, because I am born somebody's child, therefore every right I should get. This is a dangerous thing. You have to go through a process. So when this jivatma enters into earthly life, and that we'll talk about as we come into it, then it is called as a fall, that we see the story of Adam and Eve. So there is a state in which the jivatmas are there and the one is there and they're all playing with each other. And it's described very beautifully in book 3, canto 3 of Savitri, the house of the spirit and the new creation. There we see that creation which has not fallen. So in that state, what kind of life it is? And then it suffers a fall. So this fall, we can say, like a baby who enters into the womb of darkness. So just as when a child is small, he has to grow up in a certain way, he has to listen to, you know, the gurus, all the sikshak, acharyas. So in the infancy of the soul, it has to do its dealings with the gods. And these gods are many layered. They are not all on the same level. So we have a whole cosmos. Uchya Devata, Shudra Devata, Grama Devata, Kula Devata. All kinds of devatas for all kinds. Then there are mini devatas. For this mountain there is a devata. For this river there is a devata. In the tree there is a devata. It's a whole vast complex cosmos. And when we are in the infancy, then we have to go through, because each of them is holding some position, some aspect of the creation. How well they are running or not running, it is a different question. But it's given to them. You just can't immediately bypass them. Why? Because you are a portion of the Supreme. But in a sense, it is greater than the gods. Because its birthplace in the supermind. And the gods come from the original four gods are, of course, also there in the supermind, the four aspects of Satchidananda, which we, I think last time we spoke about it. Infinite existence is Brahma, infinite consciousness is Vishnu, infinite force is Shiva, infinite Ananda is Krishna. But then as they enter into the overmind layers, then they become Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, Krishna of the ordinary pantheon. Then lower down. So in the infancy of the soul, one goes through these from the lower upwards. That's what we see in the Vedic yoga. That we go through the zigzag of the gods. The Rishi goes to one god. Of course, they don't start from the lowest god. Though there is a mention of that in, say, Atharved. It also mentions many of these gods. Tantra speaks about them. But they start with the higher gods and they go step by step. From gods of the material creation to the gods of the vital world, Agni, Vayu, etc. Now here they may look like different, but in the supermind, each god contains all the others within itself. So we have these cryptic verses in the Upanishad that Agni is a god in his own right, but Agni also contains all the other gods within itself. Agni is also the child who is born. So it is very difficult to understand these unless we take the stand in the supramental consciousness, where each of these aspects hold all others within itself, yet it can put forward something which is like a specialized power given to it. So initially man goes and grows through the gods. But a time comes, a stage comes, as I said, the parent-child analogy, that you have learned what you had to learn through all the gods and the acharyas, the worldly life and all the teachers. Then what happens? What does the parent say? Now you manage my kingdom. Then you go beyond the gods, or you become like their co-brothers and sisters. Because gods are engaged in running the creation belongs to the divine. You belong to the divine, so you become once more a god amongst god. So this is the whole psychology that operates behind it. Man is a god who has forgotten that he is a god, as the mother says. So how he is reminded he is a god? By dhobi pachhad yog. He is picked up, beaten. So he starts, what is it? Who is beating me? He blames this, that. Nobody listens. Again he is beaten. At the end, what do you do? There is a saying in Hindi, marta kya na karta. What you see in Bangladesh. Marta kya na karta. You are reminded. Look here. Don't start crying here, there, everywhere. You wake up the Durga inside you. So when you get beating, ultimately, you have no option left except awakening that portion in us. Mame vansha. I am a portion of the divine. And when we wake up that portion, then this is the great truth given by Hinduism. By the way, since we are just digressed a little bit, I must say that while we say how many Hindus are there, we can equally say how many Hindus are there. Because a Hindu is never afraid. He is afraid of nothing. He is not afraid of death. He knows death doesn't exist. Why should he be afraid of death? Hindu is the only one who believes there is nothing called as death. There is a constant progression. So why should one be afraid of death? He is afraid of nothing. He shrinks from neither a state of peace if it is given, nor from war. He shrinks from nothing because he sees all as God. So we can equally say, how many Hindus are there? Equally we can say, how many Hindus are there? The day we realize it, life would change. So man is a god who has forgotten that he is a god. That is the story of Adam and Eve. And then he has to reclaim this lost portion of divinity. And that's why the challenges of life, not some punishment, but to strengthen us. The greater the opposition, the greater the possibility of waking up to our godliness. What is the point of saying, you see, when Rama's Ramatva comes when he is faced with Ravan, minus Ravan, Rama's best part may not come at all. So we have to go first through the challenges of life. That means our teachers are the asuras. Bad teachers, they take a cane, teachers, rod teachers. At some point you have said, teacher, enough of your caning, huh? I am a grown-up boy. If you do this, you are going to get it back. No, actually one 10-year-old one day told the teacher who was giving him gattas. And this 10-year-old boy suddenly says, you know, I can go to the police and complain against you. What does the teacher say? He will say he is grown up. So, and then the gods teach us. They teach us the gentler ways. They teach us soft power. Then a time comes when both the asuras and the gods say, this fellow has grown up. His demand has become too high. He wants to change this earthly life into life divine. That we cannot do. So then Mother Aditi and the Supreme Lord start taking charge. So when the mother says we don't have to worship the gods, it means this. It means that we have completed that high schooling. We don't have to go back. Of course, somebody needs, it's up to him. There is no taboo. But now we are in a different school where we have to learn how to change this earthly life into a life divine. So what that life divine will be, little bit Sri Aurobindo is giving us a glimpse and then beautifully connecting it to the great experience of the Isha Upanishad. There is a threefold experience we can have of the divine. One is the divine is in me. This is the basis of true individual. Divine expresses himself not only through the cosmos but also through the individual. That's why individualities have been created. At one point, mother says, my child, you know why individualities have been created? To have the joy of aspiration, the delight that comes. You are seeking God and he is there with you. And then you find him, first a glimpse, suddenly you get to know, oh, there is Pondicherry. You hear about mother, you remember how you feel? Oof. Then suddenly one day you decide, I must go there. Then you go there and I wish I never went back. Then you decide one day I will come here. You feel that now I have found it. No. Abhi to shuru hui hai. Party. So, because now the real dhobi pachad will start. You have to be shaped, chiseled. Life divine is not something like a plaything. But once you are in it, on board, slowly, slowly, slowly we see that the change comes. This is the journey. And then it becomes so fun, so much play. So that's why individualities have been created. This delight we would miss, the manifold delight, the delight of escape from a wounded state, the delight of taking an impossible challenge, daring it, the delight of separating and then finding again, reunion, the delight of living in a dungeon and yet refusing to give up. There are so many kinds of delight. So all this manifold delight, the one delight becomes manifold. That's why this creation. But we should know what. So first is that individuality, that God is in all, is the basis of individual existence. But all is in God is the basis of the universal existence. All is taking place in God. Whichever way you go, you will end up with him. And all is God is the basis of that ultimate Advaita experience, that all is God. He has become all. Not he is cut off from world. That cannot be Advaita. Because if you cut off from something, true freedom lies in embracing the bonds and yet be free. Just as the absolute embraces everything, becomes all these things and yet is free. How is he free? It just as when we, a PhD professor, PhD is not necessarily something great, but let's say he is teaching his 2-year-old or a 5-year-old child. He is a PhD in mathematics or language and he is teaching his 5-year-old ABCD. He limits himself. The absolute limits himself to time and circumstance. He doesn't start teaching him like, you know, higher mathematics. He starts with, or the ultimate language. He starts him with A for Akshar, Ma for Mata, and so on and so forth. So this is how he slowly reveals himself, first as a little teacher, then as we grow more and more, ultimately we share the same knowledge. This is the journey. So in this chapter, Sri Aurobindo gives us a glimpse of what is the divine soul, the Jivatma in that state. Just to complete, the Jivatma before its fall is what Sri Aurobindo calls as the central being. Sri Aurobindo's yoga terminology, we will find the terms central being. And then it enters into the play, not the whole of it, but something of it, like a portion or a ray enters into this play. Because now individualities have to develop through all the challenge. And when it enters into the play of time and space, or as Sri Aurobindo would put it in Savitri, to play at ball with time and circumstance, that is the psychic essence which will grow into a psychic being. So essentially, the psychic being and the central being are one in their deepest essence. But the central being is enjoying, like the bird of the Dvasuparna, sitting in supermind. So we can equally say not only our father, but our brother, thou who art in heaven. But in India, we will also say, and on earth. Because we are not only Dvaitavad, no? Our father, thou art in heaven, there is one son of God. No, we are all sons of God. And the father is also here. So we also say, our father, thou who art in heaven, as well as upon earth, within us. And we are also his portions, human portions, sons of God. But we have to discover it, and this discovery is not intellectual. We may intellectually believe that I am mother's child, but then we will be challenged by all the asuras and the devas. So it is a discovery which is what yoga is all about. It's about this great discovery. So what is that life there? And because we know that life is parallelly going on or already foreseen, that's why we strive to realize it. Because deep inside, that is the original blueprint. That's why we suffer. Animals don't suffer, because with human beings, individual psychic beings begin to develop individualities. So we suffer. We want an ideal state, a perfect state. Though we don't know what is that perfect state. But something in us wants. And we suffer. Why? Because it's not there. But this suffering is meant to be a catalyst, a spur, to take us towards that perfect state. And the roadmap to that perfect state is the life divine and the entire yoga which is given at several places. So the divine soul, page 161, we'll read somewhere in the middle. We begin also to perceive how inevitably that which has come out of the divine must return to the divine. But this not in the Advaitic sense. This whole journey he will explain. But for the moment, if our source was not in the divine, if something of him was not in us, we cannot go back there. There will be no connection. We will forever remain separate. So must return. We may now ask with profit and a chance of clearer reply how we must change and what we must become in order to arrive there in our nature and our life and our relations with others, and not only through a solitary and ecstatic realization in the profundities of a being. So because everybody is a portion of the divine, everything is in the divine, everything divine has become everything. So it's not enough that I discover and go back and say, okay, tata, bye-bye. Whom are we saying tata, bye-bye? Who are they? They're also myself in another form. This for all those who want to just go away, cursing Mother India. Ye problem hai, wo problem hai. Okay, go, but then bring back. You can't throw your mother. She has nourished you. It applies to all the nations, I would say. And equally to the earth, the mystics who escape the earth and the world. Up till now, world has nurtured you, nourished you in whatever way, and you just throw it away. No. So even in our right relation, that means if somebody comes and says, I am having a problem of quarrel at home. So what is the solution? Lead the divine life. Permanent solution. Temporary solution is adjust, accommodate, after all. But this adjustment doesn't last. You think with somebody else, I will lead a perfect life? No. Somebody else maybe? No. You have to change. If you don't change, it just we will play. But little bit we will learn. That's a slow process. So the only solution, Sri Aurobindo is offering the solution of the problem of the world, not escaping from the world. That's a different thing. But problem of the world, the only solution is leading the life divine. First reading, then change the letter R with L. Reading and then leading the divine life. There's no other solution. Anywhere you may go, to a Mahatma, a psychiatrist, to those horoscope tellers, fortune tellers. This is the situation. So, how can we do it? Certainly there is still a defect in our premises, for we have so far been striving to define for ourselves what the divine is in its descent towards limited nature. Whereas what we ourselves actually are is the divine in the individual, ascending back out of the limited nature to its own proper divinity. And we may add in bracket, without losing this individuality. That is the big thing. We need not. Because that's why it has been created. Creation has been created. And we are not compelled to lose it, because the origin is in supermind. By its nature, it is deathless, indestructible. So we need not. And it's so, see, such a hard won individuality. And you have to just lose it. So what kind of a whole journey would that be? The difference of movement must involve a difference between the life of the gods who have never known the fall and the life of man redeemed, conqueror of the lost godhead and bearing within him the experience, and it may be the new riches gathered by him from his acceptance of the utter descent. There is something one gains which the gods don't gain. There are riches. It's not like a meaningless journey. There's a beautiful line in Savitri. Every line is beautiful. And that is in book 1, canto 2. When Sri Aurobindo describes Savitri, she is the divine mother. She has taken a human form. So Sri Aurobindo describes her. There are 3-4 lines. And then he says, a godhead greater by the human fate. Another place he says, a god come down and greater by the fall. Because you discover something. That's why there are stories where gods wanted to come down, because they cannot get something which they don't use. I mean, there is something missing out there in heaven. To start with, it's very monotonous. There is no challenge to life. Everybody is singing the same music. Every day Chitrarath comes. He shouldn't be annoyed. He's wonderful. He's the best musician in the world. Let's say a word of praise. It's true. He's the Gandharva. Every day is the same music. No variation, variety of that kind. And then when we come down, we discover infinity in finite forms. Provided we are not, this ego-ridden consciousness is different. So Sri Aurobindo says, there is some riches that we gain. We come down from that same layer where original gods are there, the Jivatma also forms. But when we go back greater than the gods. And this is what we see in one of the stories, quickly, in the story of Bhishma. So he is a Vasu, 8 Vasus, and he gets a curse because these 8 Vasus are very powerful, and they think they can get away with anything. And as it happens, they touch a rishi, rub a rishi the wrong way, and the rishi gives the curse. And when they curse, it's like there is a blessing inside the curse. So he comes, Ganga comes to redeem them. All the 7 Vasus he redeems, but Bhishma, we know the story, the 8th Vasu. Dushyant asks a question, and therefore she goes back. Not Dushyant, Shantanu. He asks a question and Sugyu goes. And poor 8th Vasu remains. And he suffers all his life. But when he goes back, all the Vasus go back to their Vasulok, their heaven. But when Bhishma leaves the body and wants to go back, he is told, no, you won't go back there. Where will I go? We have to take you to a plane higher than that from which you fell. And it is true in life, and even in yoga, Shobindo's line in Savitri, he makes our fall a means to greater rise. This is not an excuse to fall again and again for the greater rise. Enough falls will come any which way. But it's not about deliberately doing bungee jumping. But this is the process. It is a general rule of creation. So, gathering the riches. Nevertheless, there can be no difference of essential characteristics, but only of mold and coloring. So this is where, as we grow, gods become our friends. We don't deal with them as worshipper and the worshipped. 162, page, next para. What then would be the existence of a divine soul, not descended into the ignorance by the fall of spirit into matter, and the eclipse of soul by material nature? So now he's describing, as I said, Savitri, book 3, canto 4, canto 3, the description. So there are beautiful lines there, which I am tempted to say. Each lived for all and for God in all. See, this is the idea of the ashram. It is the house of the spirit, and it has been created to give us a taste of that original house of the spirit. And this is what Mother and Sri Aurobindo are trying to teach us. They tried to teach us. What is it? You see, people had differences. Always there are differences. But mother's balcony darshan, flower darshan, vegetable darshan, sports ground, playground. Life is centered around the mother. It's not, now this department is completely separate. It's the ashram. It's one place. Departments are meant for convenience, but they are not absolute rigid barriers. This is how it should be. Originally, this is how it used to be. Not only with regard to people here, but even people who were disciples outside, when they came, they were disciples of the Mother and Sri Aurobindo. They were not like outsiders and there are some ashramites. Because this is how the life of the centered around the spirit. Whoever is centered around the mother. And mother says that in 57. She says that now the ashram is not just limited to the geographical area, to the four walls. It is in the subtle world, of course. She says, wherever there is anyone who has declared in his consciousness. And she says, not outside. He doesn't have to say to anyone that he is a disciple of Sri Aurobindo. They're all now connected. And then she says something even more important. It was necessary that they are all now connected, so that for the ashram to be viable, it was necessary. Because if you close it, confine it, you stifle it, and you finish it. She uses the word to make the ashram life viable. So this interconnectedness which has grown is on a different level. And the living example is, we all are here, we all meet. So many people, I too am anyways bad at names. Kavita is still worse probably, I don't know. Forget the names, we all forget names. But the point is that when we meet each other, how do we greet? Smile. So long as you don't ask, Amar ke chinte pari? Till then it is okay, because chinte pari, kintu from the deeper depths we know. But if we ask naam ki, then there is a problem. So I have an answer. See, we are living in a state which is beyond Namrup. So don't ask the name. Everything is okay. I don't expect you to know my name either. But there is a sense of, oneness. Why? And it doesn't matter where we are, what profession we had undertaken, what we are doing. Where do we come from? What is our language? Isn't it true? When we meet each other, we feel a different bond. We may never know the name and the job. Sometimes people ask, do you know somebody who is doing this? You come in contact with so many people. I say, unfortunately, I never ask what job you are doing. I never keep anybody's visiting card. I may not know this about the person next to me. You don't feel the need, because you are meeting at a different level altogether. So that is the life where we are all living in the divine and living for the divine. But the moment we get personal, close, egoistic pleasure, desire, satisfaction, then the asura says, you have not passed fully. Come back to my school. I'll teach you. After some time, we discover kahan aa gaye. Ye kahan aa gaye hum. So, you know. He says, oh, there, that was much better. So we are propelled. But in the process, we get the riches. What is the riches? We have discovered the joy of one in multiplicity. We have discovered something of the divine even in that. So this is the whole process. But here Sri Aurobindo is describing what is that life there. He is giving us a promo of what this life will be, but plus the riches, because we have gone through the... It would be... Obviously, the existence of such a soul would be always self-contained in the conscious play of Sachidanand. It would be pure and infinite self-existence in its being, in its becoming. It would be a free play of immortal life, uninvaded by death and birth and change of body, because unclouded by ignorance and not involved in the darkness of our material being. This is the conception of Ras Leela. Each gopi is unique, and the gopi experiences two kinds of state. One, when she falls down and she says Krishna loves Radha more than Chandrabali. But then you reach another state. He says, Krishna loves Radha, Krishna loves Chandrabali, Krishna loves me. So you're happy. He loves me. He has his unique relation with me. He loves Radha in a different way. With me, he has a unique relation. So there is an individual, but always there is in the self-existence of the Sachidananda. You are satisfied. So anyone who is satisfied and fulfilled with the mother's love, why would he want love from anyone else? He will give love because there is abundance which is flowing. But wanting, expecting would not be there very naturally, because he is happy receiving love from the mother. So this is one glimpse, but this is one part of the realization. It would be a pure and unlimited consciousness in its energy, poised in an eternal and luminous tranquility as its foundation. So always there will be always the Shakti doing all kinds of works, whatever is demanded. And Sri Aurobindo says, infinite energy man should be able to hold within and express. Why is it not given to us? Because our demand is very little. The least demand, the worst demand is roti kapda or makan. Why this ideal is dangerous? It reduces man to a pig. Roti kapda or makan. Pigs don't ask for kapda. That's different. No, they use kapda. That mud is the kapda. So roti kapda or makan. Then we say, no. We want something else also. Don't diminish us to that level. So this is the Marxist communism. Roti kapda or makan. So comes another socialistic idea. No. Baby, bacha or dukan. And if you increase it further, capitalism, all this comes. So you want only this, you will get only this much. But when you say that I am Mamevansh, I am the divine in a human form, then everything changes. But then one has to work much more automatically, because the energy, the Shakti that flows is prachand. So that energy automatically, mother says, I give 3 times the energy that is required. How much we waste. And she keeps us, because that's how it is meant to be. Those who are closer to her take up more work. That's how, you know. And the more we work, the more she gives. Because there is nothing like a rest, retired rest, bourgeois life. So you keep growing younger. Why? Because the energy. So there is infinite energy. There is infinite existence. All existences are seen as aspects of the one divine. And there is uninvaded by death. And there is a luminous tranquility is the foundation. So whatever they may do, they don't fight. Here the game becomes dangerous. Like children sometimes play carom board or any game. When it doesn't work out, they just throw. They start crying. When they grow up, they understand. Don't take it so seriously. If you don't get a silver or gold, it's okay. Life doesn't crash. You have played the game well. So this is how we see. There is a very beautiful advertisement which had come very timely. So it's not an advertisement, but a little WhatsApp that. So we had recently the event of Vinesh Fogart and losing and then everybody crying and this, that. But there was another advertisement, and not an advertisement, but a little clipping of a girl who has lost. She tried, but she lost. And she goes to her father saying, "Dad, I lost it." Dad says, "For me, you are the winner. For me, you are the winner. The way you tried, for me, you are the winner," and puts a medal. That should be our approach. So it is so beautiful when we look at life like that. And here, all are winners. Whoever wins, it is the divine who is in everyone, manifesting in everyone. So, tranquility as its foundation, yet able to play freely with forms of knowledge and forms of conscious power. So for, it doesn't mean that the person will always live in trance, not at all. He will be all the time in conscious contact with the Sachidanand and working in different forms of knowledge. It could be engineering, medicine, whatever it be, or plants, trees, cooking, supramental cooking. That will be the ultimate prasad. This question was asked to Sri Aurobindo, incidentally. It's not a suggestion I am giving to anyone, but it was a question asked. So that's, we have it in our scripture, no? Jagannath prasad, Mother Lakshmi makes. So all this is a hint. Yet, able to play freely with forms of knowledge and forms of conscious power. So with every limited power, it deals differently. But with a deeper knowledge, with all the knowledge behind it, it contains behind and puts forth that which is necessary. That's what we find in Ramayana when it is said that how you have to deal with Shat, how you have to deal with this creature, how you have to deal with a friend, how this is what dharma is all about. Everybody has the divine, but with each one the dealing is different. So right form of knowledge and right form of power, with each one has to deal that way. It would be finally a pure and inalienable delight in its eternal self-experience and in time a free variation of bliss, unaffected by our perversion of dislike, hatred, discontent and suffering, because undivided in being, unbaffled by erring self-will, unperverted by the ignorant stimulus of desire. There are several examples in this. It's like when we are going in a car, this advertisement comes and there is traffic jam and people are cursing, some people are coming out and very angry. There is a fellow sitting coolly inside the car and they say, "What has happened? What has happened?" Suddenly he takes off his music plug. "Yes, what has happened?" He is in his delight. At a very micro level, I had this experience. Somebody had asked me to write some bhajans. I said, okay, when I get the inspiration. And actually coming from Nainital to Delhi, there was a big traffic jam and the bus got stuck. So after 10-15 minutes, long jam. So I asked the driver, how much time it will take? So he said, "Sir, 2 ghanta to maan ke chalo." I said, "Pakka?" "Bola pakka." There's a nice field there. So I had a paper and pen. That time there was no phone. I sat there. All the bhajans came down that time. Such a joy. I mean, there are different kinds of delight, inalienable delight. And this is because of inspiration I got it. So several times life, you know, offers challenges of different kind. And if we don't take it from the egoistic likes and dislikes, as she's saying, "I wish it was like this." Another very recent example. My flight was delayed and I missed some flight. That's a long story. Landed in Chennai all the way from, where did I come from? Anyways, New York. So after landing, you know, suddenly India. India is very alive. Everybody is saying something, smelling something. Everything is all alive. After a very smooth, so-called, but And then I am navigating. In 1 hour, I have to take the domestic, and in the lift, myself and another lady from Chennai, we both enter, and she has a smile on her face, and I have a smile, and she says, "Ah, what a chaos. I love this chaos in India." I said, "Wonderful. 1 minute." I said, "Exactly my feeling. Chaos means you can grow. There is a challenge. I have to make it." And then when you sit, it's one of the best moments. It's like you have won a medal of 100 meter marathon, literally. It's a delight at the end of the day for a long time. And then when you work on your phone, you feel you are in the middle of heaven. So everything is an inalienable delight. Undivided consciousness. What if you missed? Okay. Delight of waiting for 5 hours. That also we all have experienced. So this is how, that is the life there. It is freed from suffering. Why? Because it is freed from ignorant desires and freed from erring self-will which baffles us. Things should be the way I want it to be. There it is not like that. Everywhere God is present, everywhere the work is there, everywhere there is the delight. In consciousness would not be shut out from any part of the infinite truth, nor limited by any poise or status that it might assume in its relation with others. How beautiful this is. Nor condemned to any loss of self-knowledge by its acceptance of a purely phenomenal individuality and the play of practical differentiation. See, there are stories of saints who for a long time they're just working like, apparently somebody felt he is nobody. Peon, clerk. Shri Krishna, Raj Rajeshwar. When he is asked by Yudhishthir, we have allotted duties to everyone. We don't know what duty we should allot to you. This is very simple. I'll pick up everybody's plate. No. How can you do it? Why? By example he shows. And he himself, when it comes to Arjun, what does he offer himself? As a charioteer. The famous pad, no? Sarathi ban Arjun ratha hakyo. That is what is, he doesn't become less of a god. As Aurobindo writes in one of his poems, even in rags I am God. That's why we see these two ideals of gods. One is Shiva. Not even rags. Some Bhagambar is put around his waist. That's his fashion statement. Tell him you are supposed to be Devokadev Mahadev. You should be well dressed. He says, I am what I am. You don't own a car. You own a bull. At least change your vehicle. He says, I can give any number of cars to anyone. But this bull is my favorite. It has served me. How can I just throw away? Achha, at least have a palace. Why are you shivering in cold? He says, I am unaffected by cold. Shiva, one ideal. The other is Krishna. Raj Rajeshwar, palace, ruler, king, mighty warrior. But he takes different positions at different points of times. With Radha, his love is strange. They never marry. There is not very, now don't go by the cinema serials which turn it into a romantic affair. They probably never had the kind of intimate that conversation as is shown. But their love is pristine, pure, immortal love. With another gopi, he has another kind of love. And there are states when he goes and bows at the feet of Radha, as it is said. Is he less of a Krishna? With Sudama, he cleans his feet when he comes. This is what the divine being life is, of which we see glimpses in our scriptures. With different, you treat differently. But you know that there is the divine in all. And that is the real sense when Ravan dies, is about to die. Ram tells Lakshman, learn Rajniti from him. Lakshman says, I know you are a good guy, but bhaiya, itna bhi nahi. He says, no, I mean it. He says, what do you mean? You mean it. He says, see, I yet don't have the experience of running a kingdom. This fellow has run a kingdom so well that all his subjects are happy and all of them were invulnerable. Even the gods could not take away this. Not an ordinary thing. How he has achieved it? And then Ravan gives the secret. He says, so long as I thought of the kingdom and the people, I was invulnerable even by the gods. The day I was moved by selfish desire, this Ravan has fallen like nothing and nobody. So this is a lesson he tells Lakshman, that don't be selfish, because I am the example of both kinds of life. So this is how that life will be, untainted by selfishness, unstinted or deformed by desire. So we will stop here and continue tomorrow, 5:15. Thank you.